Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour from Gallagher Way is brought to you by Menards. Is everybody ready to sing, team? Let's do it.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah. It's time for 5-0. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number one.
I think we can all agree Cubs manager Craig Counsell got an A+ for his bullpen management in Game 1 in the win over the Padres. What grade are you giving him for the loss in Game 2 of the NL Wild Card?
I'm sorry, did we get three drops at the end of the Menards? Woo, Mao, and Bears?
Yeah.
That's
good job, Robbie. You're cooking, baby.
That's as good as I've
heard.
Give Robbie an A+. Robbie got an A.
Robbie, write that down.
I am writing that down. A+.
See?
Going right in the fridge.
Robbie, you deserve it.
I spoil you.
Is that me stalling because I don't know what to give Craig Counsell's a grade for yesterday? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I know what to give him.
Go.
I'm with it.
Go.
Craig Counsell deserves a C. Very average. Very average. His bullpen use was good, except for the decision, obviously, with Shota Imanaga. And once again, Craig Counsell can't hit.
I think it might be C+ for me.
C+?
Because I get it. You decided to use Andrew Kittredge as the opener. And he had a fabulous outing the day before. But he still ended up getting you a run scored against. You know, that's the unfortunate part. Double steal as well. You know, the Padres manufacturing offense there to get the job done. And that's unfair when you consider the judgment. But that's how relievers are judged. You know, that's just part of this. When you give up a run as a reliever, in this case, the opener, with one inning as the defined role, that counts against the ledger. And then and what we saw with Shota Imanaga, of course, the decision, whether or not to walk, as he says, it didn't even come down to whether or not Soroka was in at that point. The decision whether or not to walk Manny Machado should have been part of it. You know, like I said before, it's not Pokemon where you have to catch them all in a certain way. You know, it's a matter of preventing the team from scoring in different ways and neutralizing that offense. So for me, it's probably like a 78, you know, out of 100. I feel like.
So C+ is what you're going with here?
Yeah, maybe 79. I don't like giving him C's.
I like him to be better, so he gets more than a C, right?
I mean, I just feel like, overall, he's still probably making, you know, an A for the class, but yesterday was rough.
Yeah, I got to give him a C. I'm not going to be able to come up with that 78, 79% that Layla was able to, and I'll disagree with him even in the fact that he was not even considering bringing in Soroka. What he did consider was intentionally walking Machado, which would have made sense. But I just don't understand why he was so confident and so exact in taking Matthew Boyd out after 4 1/3, that he had that confidence. It doesn't matter. I'm marching out to this mound, and I've got Daniel Palencia ready. I get it. Soroka is not Daniel Palencia, but we didn't know what Daniel Palencia was going to be. So he gets a C for that, and And a lot of it is because he didn't even consider that possibility. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Like, you go with the analytics one day, and it's perfect, and we're all raving about Craig. It's his best day with the Chicago Cubs, basically. And then he goes away from it the next game? I don't get it.
Because I think it matters as to what happens today. I think part of his management of yesterday was trying to manage for today at that point.
Yeah,
think about even the decision to bring Rodgers in. Yeah, at that what it ended up remaining the same final score, but even then you're going, well, given how many runs he has given up previously, is that kind of an indication that you've decided you're going to focus on the next day?
You should be managing to advance, not the next day. I mean, you got to advance. You have to go all the way to the wall in a game like that. You have a chance to advance in the playoffs for the first time since 2017. Like, go all out.
I think the thing for me when you talk about manage to advance versus manage for today or tomorrow, the biggest thing for Craig Counsell is understanding his offense probably wasn't getting it done because he knew where the bullpen was loaded up for the San Diego Padres. So why waste a valuable arm, but you could have that fresh arm on today for this matchup.
Number two.
Layla, Marshall, Grody, who is your most important Cubs player in this afternoon's elimination game?
I need a bopper. I need somebody who can hit the ball out of the ballpark. I need to count on somebody. I need a hero. I need somebody who can help make up for other people's mistakes with the bat. And then a win is a win is a win, you know, because you've minimized the team's mistakes on one side. If they happen, you've done your best chance as a hitter to make sure to put the game in your hands. I need one of the boppers to step up. Kyle Tucker, if there was ever a day, today might be the only one you got left with this team. Step it up if you can. I don't know how healthy his calf is. I tend to take it in this perspective. Kyle Tucker, good. Calf, bad. Calf, I'm talking to you. I need everything you got today. Did you do a team lift yesterday and then watch the game?
A team lift?
I guess I'm talking to specifically
team
Kyle
lift.
Tucker's calf. Make your dude better today. Just forget about your bad time right now, okay?
How you say, team lift.
Yeah, no calf raises for you until we see what happens
team
today in the
lift.
Game.
It was, like as it was foreign to him, right? I don't understand this. How do you say that? How do you say team lift?
Lifting weights is good. It benefits your players, especially in football where impact and muscles matter. So, yeah, I need Kyle Tucker's calf to step up today.
All right.
For him and for us.
I'm just going to go good old-fashioned starting pitcher. I'm going to go Jameson Taillon, who has been good lately on the overall, like, just remember, 11-7, 3.68 ERA, 4-1 in his last six outings. He allowed four earned runs only in four starts in September. He was good on April 14th, way back April 14th against San Diego, allowed two runs over five and a third in a no decision. And, yeah, man, like a veteran like that who has that sort of poise, who has pitched in the postseason before, I am counting on big things from him. And I love what he was saying, too, that he kind of has been more nervous not participating, like more anxiety, sitting around. So it sounds like Taillon is thrilled to be pitching, and you like that because it's got to be pretty frightening at the same time.
Because he's a leader. He wants to do what he can to help his team. He really is.
You're right. He is a leader, and he gets what's going on now. I actually feel – because on the overall, I always feel like I never know what I'm going to get from Jameson Taillon. It's just been his nature since he came to the Cubs. But on this day, I feel really good about him and his poise.
Well, you brought up his earlier start against the Padres. I know it was a long time ago, but 2-5 2/3, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. That will not be good enough in this game. Runs will be at a premium, I feel like. So giving up 2 runs over 5 2/3, the Cubs might still be behind with you-know-what loaded up, ready to go against them in the late innings. So I'm going to say it's the guy who has to set the tone. It's my presumed leadoff hitter, Michael Busch. Michael Busch has got to get out here and get extra bases. That can be a home run. It can be a double. Hey, I heard he likes to hit triples lately. It could be a triple even. But he's got to put himself in scoring position, if not drive himself and others in. Michael Busch is my guy. He's going to get just as many, if not more, plate appearances than everybody else in that lineup.
Still laughing at Team Lift.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody live from the beautiful Gallagher Way at Wrigley Field. Man, I hope we get another playoff game. I don't want this to be the end, you know?
Yeah, Ray,
got any more of those playoff games?
Come on. Hashtag Team Lift, baby. All right, we're going to move on to the
hashtag
Team Lift. We're starting it. We're starting it. All right, I'm going to move on to the next question. Which team is under more pressure in today's NL wild card elimination game, the Cubs or the Padres?
Cubs, it's Cubs. It's 90 million billion percent the Cubs. They hadn't been to the playoffs in 5 years. Do you really count that, given what happened in 2020? And the time before that was 2018 in that lame-o one-off wild card game against the Rockies. Think of where the Rockies are right now. Think about that. Like, how many times did I have to say the name Germán Márquez that year?
Oh, my God.
Too many times, Grody. I know you remember. I know you know what I'm talking about. We don't talk about that 2018.
Mm. And I'll raise you a Corey Dickerson in 2020. I mean, yeah.
It's the Cubs. The Padres have been to the playoffs more recently than the Cubs have. They also, you could argue, it'd be understandable they didn't get the home field advantage. There's not as much pressure in San Diego in general. But it's definitely more pressure on the Cubs today.
I think you're absolutely right. It's not even a question as to who has more pressure on them. It's the Cubs for several reasons. Number one, they're at home. You can't be dropping a best of three series at the house when you won game one. That is a bad, bad look. Lately, you mentioned the recent playoff history of the Padres. They've been in the playoffs 4 of the last 6 years. As we know, this year might be an exception, but usually the National League West is one of, if not the toughest division in all of baseball. Oh, yeah, the reigning World Series champs happened to hail from that division. So, yeah, they were never going to likely be in a position where they were going to get to host a playoff series. Going on the road is a tough ask for anyone in the wild card series era where 18 of the 20 winners of the wild card, but let me make that 19 of 21 after the Dodgers last night, the home team has won. So going and doing something as big as what the Padres are on the verge of doing, that cannot be understated. By the way, the other two teams who were able to win on the road in the wild card series, there weren't even fans in the stands. They were both 2020. So, yeah, it's the Cubs, and it's the Cubs with a bullet.
Well, check this out. Just to add to that point, it was the Padres in the year 2020 that dropped game one against St. Louis, and then the Cardinals went on to win the next two. And guess what else? Manny Machado hit a home run in game two of that series. So it's been a pleasure working with you, Marshall. I thought that was a good little handoff that you gave to me. But it's the Cubs. Is there any let's just look at Fernando Tatis. I think the way he plays and his demeanor, his relaxed demeanor, that is symbolic of San Diego in general. I don't know. I'm sitting here playing ignorant. I don't know what the urgency is from the fans and sports talk radio and the opinioneers that exist in San Diego. Are they getting that push, or is it just like, oh, cool, man, the Padres are in the playoffs, let's go? Like sort of that college atmosphere or even a high school atmosphere for the Cubs, as we talked about with Jake Arrieta yesterday. He was part of a team that changed the precedent, that raised the bar for this organization, changed the expectation from we're thrilled to be here to winning games. And it was nice that they won a game.
You would say he was team lifted expectations?
Team lift.
Is that different from lowered expectations?
But you're right. Yeah. You're right about that, Grody.
I do love, Layla, I love when there's something that tickles you silly because you can't get past it.
No,
shouldn't. And then I love that you're not getting past it. It is.
Wow.
But yes, the bar is higher now, so I don't even think it's close in terms of where just because of the fan bases. And I bet San Diego fans would probably accept that too. They're like, we don't even want to be that aggressive as fans. We got an ocean here to deal with.
There was never a bigger contrast in my career than when I somehow felt more comfortable in Philadelphia than I did in San Diego.
Why?
San Diego is just easy breezy, and that's not to say that they don't care about the baseball. The fan base absolutely did, but the expectations are just different. And worst case scenario, I don't know, you're going to the beach. I went to the beach quite a bit when I lived there. That's just how it is. But they built this team to compete. And like we said at the beginning of the show, they built this team to compete and then compete some more. And then compete some more. And when A.J. Preller got there, he started making trades. And some of them were wild and some of them didn't work. And he took big hacks. But you know what? They kept letting him do it. And that's how he's built this group. And they've made the playoffs. And the Cubs are the team that hadn't. And the hacks weren't as big.
Do they lift like this?
Yeah, that's a team lift.
Team lift.
This?
Yeah.
So I do think it's still the Cubs.
Number four.
We're starting a movement on the midday show here on 670 The Score. Hashtag Team Lift.
Bro.
And it leads us to this question. Do you have any issue with the Bears being at yesterday's Cubs wildcard game?
No.
Hashtag Team Lift.
It gives me goosebumps when there are when there is the Chicago sports camaraderie. The, yeah, I'm going Caleb out here to support the Cubs and seeing various Blackhawks players out here. Connor Bedard hanging out. I love it when they can let loose and be like, sit back. Ah, let's just enjoy the pressure being on a different team for this day. So I love it.
You know who is probably rooting for the night game tonight for the Cubs? Those Bulls. They're like, we want to get in, but we're too busy doing our own training camp right now. We can't get out there for
the
game.
We them Bulls.
But maybe for the next round they can if the Cubs can get to the next round. There should be no issue from anyone whatsoever with the Bears being at yesterday. It is the bye week, right? It's the bye week. This is when you're supposed to actually take a break. You're not 0-4. Not only are you 2-2, you started 0-2 and you won the last two games. You're trending up. Take a breather. Take a breather.
I need a Dustin Carl battle.
Oh, man.
I need a Dustin Carl Collar Grabowski, like, call rap battle.
Is that the next Odyssey 670 The Score podcast? Carl Grabowski versus Dustin Rhodes versus, yes.
And then it's just various sports takes. Pete Rose Hall of Fame, go! Like, it's the hits. It's the hits of sports radio talk.
Carl's throwing hard-boiled eggs around.
It's just, man. And Carl really would contribute to Sports Sunday Fan Zone. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, it's
okay,
your guy.
Getting back to the question at hand, I love it. Like, that's how you know it's a good game. Remember being in high school, and I'm like, oh, how, you know how I know this is an important basketball game? The football team is here. Or, like, when I would be the Bulls sideline reporter, for example, you know how I knew it was a big game? Because, like, Khalil Mack would be there. And, like, all when the athletes give it their blessing, like, they know it's going to be hype. That's how you know it's awesome. It's not the only way you know. But it does add an extra level of oomph, like, intensity to it all. And it's really cool to see. Because teammates want to be teammates. That's why it was wonderful to see the Blackhawks out here yesterday. That's why it was great to see the Bears. They all want to be part of the team. Like, that's the essence of their whole professional existence. So I love it, actually. I think it's fantastic. And if you all want to lift together in a team lift, you go right ahead.
You know, that, Layla, that's a great point. That's a great point we actually hadn't considered. There were Blackhawks players here, too, that left unmentioned.
Nick Foligno,
They're in the middle of the preseason.
Yeah, but they wanted to be here. They want to be on the team.
No issue with that, huh, Dustin?
Is that Team Chicago or Team Lyft they're trying to be on?
And they weren't at a suite. They were with the people. I mean, those people could have been buying them beers for all we know. Maybe not Connor Bedard yet. But, you know, everybody else, just saying.
I'm Team Grabowski.
I want to see the Dustin Carl battle.
Number 5.
This is 5 on it on 670 The Score. You are in a video game. Your opposition is a video game version of Padres flamethrower Mason Miller. What weapon do you use to stop him?
I submitted this question because that's the only way I know how to stop that man. I couldn't think of a real-world way to do it. I had to come up with something else, like a video game or some sort of force weapon that I don't even know exists. Force field, invisible dog shield. You know how they do with the collars and stuff where they don't have to leave the yard? I don't know what stops that man. I saw that 104-mile-an-hour pitch on the outside corner and my brain melted. I don't know what to do with that. I'm seeing Mason Miller on the street now. I don't even know where to go with this. I've gotten beaten. Do you do the Mortal Kombat, like, finish him, like, with the fire throw? I don't know where to get the fire. Yeah. I just don't know how you stop him. I don't know what to do. He's not throwing anything but strikes. You can't swing at it. It reminds me of, like, when Aroldis Chapman first burst onto the scene. Except Aroldis is still throwing 103. I'm in an existential crisis.
Don't be. It's fine. Just, look, grab the chain, man. This is like Double Dragon. Just grab the chain off the street and wrap him up. That's the best you can do, because if you wrap him up, he can't throw. Put his arm away. That is the good. And as far as flames go, he's going to be the one throwing flames at you.
You know what I'm talking about? The lunge, of course. You push the flame.
Have you guys seen Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Do you remember?
No, don't.
Okay, now I'll be really careful. Bruce Willis goes into a shop.
This is a family-friendly program.
I know. No, don't worry. I won't say any of the dirty stuff. Don't worry. He gets a samurai sword. The samurai sword. That's what I would use to stop Mason Miller.
Are you stabbing him? Are you cutting off his arm? What are you doing?
You well, slice the baseball midair?
I don't know. You guys tell me. Like, do we take him out completely or just disable him?
I think disable is the safe way to go on this family show.
What if we scream, look over there?
Okay.
Then we just run to first base. Would that make it work?
That might work.
Oh, my God. And then just run to first base. Got you.
I mean, something has to be done. Something has to be done.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I have no idea.
I think you guys were scared to death.
And I killed a guy with a trident.
Brick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should probably lay low for a while.
Killed a guy, man.
You know who's not laying low with us? Tony Gwynn Jr. Maybe he'll tell us how to stop Mason Miller. We love having him on. He's a friend of the show, the Padres Radio Network analyst, and also Major League Baseball veteran. Joins us next here, Raheemy Harrison-Grody on The Score.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The pitch. Hard hit on the ground is short. Bogarts has it. Flipped to second one. Cronenworth turn is in time! And a double play to end the game.
A tough in-between hop for Bogey. He sits on it, able to get the flip to Cronenworth. And they turned a clean 6-4-3 double play, and there will be a tomorrow.
Well, he was right about that, and that is how the game ended. Our next guest on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We are live from Gallagher Way, getting you ready for this deciding Game 3 of the National League Wild Card Series between the Cubs and Padres. And you heard that man's voice. Tony Gwynn Jr., a friend of the show, always thrilled to have him on, the Padres Radio Network analyst, former big leaguer, at Tony Gwynn Jr. on X. Nice enough to join us here on site at Gallagher Way. A little bit weather for you. Better than the last time you were here, Tony, when it was, I feel like wind chill was about zero for the home opener.
It certainly felt like it at the time. But, this weather has felt like home in some ways, right? So you would expect to come out here this time of year and it'd be brutally cold. We've gotten lucky.
We were talking about that with Curtis Granderson, because I brought up how and missed that tint of fall in the air for playoff baseball, but he took it in a serious path saying this weather walks right into what the Padres are comfortable with.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, listen, the Padres came here earlier and faced probably colder weather than they would even if it was the normal time of year. But nonetheless, this is just good baseball weather in general. Both sides get to benefit from being able to feel their hands and feet when they're in the box.
There's precedent, right? Because Mason Miller back in May threw three straight days, 27 pitches, 21 pitches, 12 pitches.
Yeah.
I think there's no doubt that full complement of bullpen arsenal that we saw the last 2 days will be available here to Mike Schilt. What do you make of where we are in the postseason that these guys are going 3 days in a row?
It's just that. It's the postseason, right? I think during the regular season, we often are having the conversation of why did he let him go as long as he had, or things of that nature. But once you get to the postseason, it's just you can't afford to see how things kind of progress. If you start to see it going sideways, it's better to jump on it then as opposed to let it linger where it could perhaps get away from you. And I think we've seen both managers in each of the first two games really manage like there was no tomorrow. And I think that's just kind of, especially in a three-game set, you know, unlike a five-game series or a seven-game series, these games they get you that much closer to the winning the series. So I think we've seen both managers kind of manage in a way that, you know, is a little bit advantageous to try to get the result now.
What has your impression been of the Padres' offense so far in this series?
Quite frankly, it's kind of what we've seen from them throughout the year. Mm-hmm. An offense that when it's clicking, they can string some hits together and kind of do what we saw do in the first inning, but they can do it for multiple innings. But I think a large part of the season, they've been very inconsistent with that. And yesterday, they benefited, as the Cubs did the first day, with the long ball. And that's not something that the Padres are generally doing. You know, I think they finished 28th in homers this year in the season. So it's nice to have a guy like Manny Machado in those spots because those type of things can happen, and we saw him kind of trying to do his thing in game two.
I got to ask you mentioned the managers. Were you surprised in real time that Craig Counsell allowed Shota Imanaga to face Manny Machado in the fifth inning?
You know,
the two-run homer?
My point of view on those type of things is you're always, especially this time of year, you're always managing in the moment. And, yes, I'm sure in a normal circumstance, Manny swinging a bat the way he normally is swinging it, yeah, you probably a no-brainer you put him on. But Manny has struggled, not just in this series, but he has struggled really the last month of the season. And so Counts, no doubt, knows that. And it's also kind of showing some confidence in a pitcher that, you know, may be lacking some confidence by the way he finished the season. And he had thrown the ball really well at that point. He hung that split. And, you know, that's also how playoff baseball goes. It could just be that one mistake that ends up costing you the game. And your decision will be questioned thereafter.
There's so much recency bias when you look at pitching, specifically starting pitching.
Yeah.
What do you make of this starting pitching matchup with Yu Darvish and Jameson Taillon and how they've been pitching of late?
Listen, I know Taillon has thrown the ball extremely well as of late. It sounds like, you know, this is a guy who came on strong there at the end. And Yu Darvish is in a similar way. I mean, Darvish missed the majority of the season. And I don't know that people really put the priority that they should when a guy misses that kind of time and is trying to catch up a full season's worth of starts in a matter of 2 months. It just doesn't usually go well. We've seen that with Michael King as well. And so the last five starts, though, we've started to see Yu Darvish return to form. Now, I don't know if it's as sharp as we've ever seen him, but he certainly, in the same way Dylan Cease has made those steps that kind of give you some confidence that he can come into a game like this. You know he's not going to be afraid of the moment. And really, even if it's getting, you know, the same amount of innings that you got out of Dylan Cease yesterday, if you can get zeros up there, you'll patch it together however you can from that point on.
You know, Tony, having worked with the Padres 12 years ago now, that's how long it's been, my goodness. I it's not foreign to me to say phrases like this team has to manufacture offense.
Yeah.
The home run numbers aren't where you thought they would be. That is a very typical discussion in San Diego. So is the bullpen. Yeah. And for the newness that AJ Preller has brought in, it's funny that that fits the traditional profile, yeah. but perhaps there is no better example than that bullpen. We kept talking about Mason Miller's just incredible outing yesterday. And what have you made of him along with the pen just coming through the way they have?
It highlights the brilliance of AJ Preller. I mean, no one was thinking at the deadline that the Padres were in shopping for a relief arm. They already had the best bullpen at that time. And you go out and you add an arm like Mason Miller, it just only strengthens the strength that you have. And he's been phenomenal. I mean, he's pitching in the eighth in most of these outings. And his ability to go multiple innings, as we saw him do yesterday, is something that makes him unique in that closing type role. You just don't see too many guys that can consistently do it. Now, the Padres have been, very careful during the regular season for this exact reason. When you get to this time of year, you're willing to let guys go a little bit longer. You protect them during the regular season. I think Mason has benefited from that.
Yeah, I mean, has he ever given up a hit? Just because. Like, has he ever not blown a guy away? Tell us something.
Yeah, no. Yeah. The Diamondbacks actually they got him twice to in a it would seem like a crucial time of the year.
Yeah.
And late in the game, okay. Two homers off of him. That was a game changer. It was a 2-run shot that got him. But most of the time, he's in the running for an immaculate inning every time he comes out of the bullpen. That's just how good he's been.
Tony Gwynn, the Padres radio network analyst and former big leaguer. Joining us, Tony Gwynn Jr. has seen a lot of stuff, both in childhood and in adulthood.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think the biggest factor will be for this winner-take-all game.
I mean, the easy answer is the offenses, because they've been the thing that have been kind of stifled. But I think it goes with the starting pitching and what kind of start they get off to. I don't think this is a game you want to fall behind early. Especially if you're the Cubs, because I think the bullpen for the Padres, even though they've used those two guys, is still deep enough where they're going to have to see some pretty talented arms coming out of that pen. So I thought that was the difference in game one, right? I think the Cubs got the lead early, and their bullpen was on the other side shutting down the Padres. And so I think both bullpens are going to be up for the task. Can you get an early lead? And that may be difficult with the 4 o'clock start in these shadows. We saw that have a big impact in game one after they kind of took hold. Seemed like there were no hits out there.
Yeah, in fact, Curtis Granderson was on earlier with us, and he talked about that from a hitting standpoint. What can you speak to about that, just from what your impression was and how you saw guys who normally may be producing a little more?
In terms of the shadows?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What I can tell you is the difference is very small. Yesterday there was a thin layer of cloud out there that I thought changed. We didn't talk about the shadows really yesterday. Game one, it was clear skies, and those shadows were hard. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. You could see it just by following along with the game. The sun kind of set, and the shadow creeped over home plate right as Suzuki went deep, right mm-hmm. as Kelly went deep. And then from that point on, it set a little bit further. It goes K, 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 inning changes, K. You could just see how the shadows really took off him. So is when it's going from really light to dark really fast, because that's where the hitters are. They're in that shaded area. It's a guessing game at that point, because it's hard to pick up spin. The ball is changing color as it's coming out of the hand. And I can only imagine what it's like now. These guys are throwing upwards of 97 to 104. You're not having a lot of time to be able to decipher it. And the human eyes, the at-bat I point to is Xander's in game one. It was late. He had a couple swings where it was just like he was fighting for his life. And it was because he couldn't see the baseball.
You know who would have hit a solid gapper into left field against Mason Miller? Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn.
5.5 hole.
Would have been able to do that. Marshall brought up, like, obviously you've been around it your whole life. Your dad is one of the greatest hitters of all time in Tony Gwynn. So, man, I was holding back from asking about this again, but 1984, Yeah. I'm sure you were probably pretty young.
I was two.
Okay.
I was two.
So,
but I've seen enough
video. So you
video.
Remember well. Yeah.
I see enough video, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That was hard for some of us Cubs fans. Listen. It was a hard time, but I have nothing but respect for Tony Gwynn. Was one of the one guy that I didn't have the hate didn't stay for him. Steve Garvey, it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alan
yeah.
Wiggins, I got a problem with him because yeah. he was always on base. But I had never had a problem with your dad because he was just too good to have a problem with.
The video I remember most is after the Cubs took the 2-0 lead, there's a video of a smoke bomb going off, black cloud just coming right next to my dad as he's sitting in right field.
Oh, man.
And it was indicative of how that series was going at that time.
Oh, wow.
And then they come home and, you know, the rest is history.
Well, I always say, too, like, I can talk about these things now even though it was traumatic because I was 12.
It's been a little bit of time now.
Yeah, but the Cubs won a World Series in 2016.
Yes, they have.
So all that silly
stuff. We still haven't. So you still got that kind of hanging over us.
Yeah, that's true. We have that, and you did lose to the Tigers in 1984.
And that was only one of the greatest teams ever, though.
Yeah, it was. They were quick to 100 wins that year. You are right. You are absolutely right about that.
Tony Gwynn Jr., this has been an awesome experience as always. It's great to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time, catching up with us, and taking the time before your radio broadcast.
Yeah,
today.
Thank you guys for having me. Always enjoy coming on.
Thank
Tony
you.
Tony Gwynn Jr. Thanks, Tony. Joining us here at Gallagher Way. We get you ready for Game 3. Keep in mind, the local broadcast is here of the Cubs and Padres in that National League wildcard series. Do or die at Wrigley Field. Lawrence Holmes and Russ Dorsey are here after us from 2 to 3:30. Then the official pregame coverage begins at 3:30. First pitch at 4:08. Every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We ask you, who's the hitter that needs to step up for the Cubs in this Game 3? We'll discuss it next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on the Score.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheemy Harris and Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
With Pete struggled, does it kind of look like he's trying to make something happen rather than the game come to him?
The first two matchups in this series have been pitchers that have done a good job exploiting Pete's holes, which is what pitchers, that's their job. Players of this talent don't give you pitches to hit. It's tough to get hits. And they did a pretty good darn good job of that today.
As Craig Counsell after yesterday's game, this is Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Score. Live from Gallagher Way, we are getting you ready for Game 3, this decisive elimination game between the Cubs and the Padres. Loser goes home. Just like that, baseball season could be over for at least somebody.
Which is very sad. Yeah, somebody is going home after today, and let it not be the Cubs. Because you know what, guys? This is fun. I like doing shows out here at Gallagher Way, getting everybody ready for these Cubs playoffs games. This is awesome.
If the DS works out to the fact that the Cubs could be back in the daytime, I'm imagining we'd be back out here next Wednesday and Thursday.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice.
And you know what? If the DS happens, I need some of y'all to go up to Milwaukee for us and go start some trouble.
Oh, let's start the trouble now. Let's request that our show be broadcasting from Milwaukee. Let's be the first show to raise our hand and be like, we would like the resources put into this show to be there. Sorry, Alex. Don't get any ideas over there.
Alex Kuhn is here. He's already come in from the afternoon show. They have a spy.
He's like, I don't think so. You guys are not going to Milwaukee. I don't think so.
We can bring Alex.
Ray, what do you have to say for yourself?
Producer battle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm doing what I got to do to get over there to Milwaukee, baby.
Ray. That was not convincing. I just want to point that
out.
Oh,
yeah, baby.
Oh, I'm getting there.
I'm in, man.
I'm there.
Ray's face was not selling the product.
Ray's got a lift he's got to tend to. So.
It was
team lift.
This was I was surprised you even asked me because I would be there. I am there. No matter what.
You got
no
the
matter
power.
What, I'm getting there.
You are the producer.
Fine, I'm
there's a guy behind you that's the boss. Talk to Parth. Parth.
And you know what's going to happen. They're going to call Craig Counsell a traitor, T-R-A-D-E-R.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is. I know they're probably hyped to see the Cubs, but there's the fact of the matter of the Cubs need to hit more, and somebody's got to be there. And that brings us to our next question. The hitter that you want to step up in this series. And we already got a couple of text responses, which I thought were valid because it's kind of how I feel. The text line has been pretty great today, so thanks to everybody for contributing. 219 said, everybody but Nico, Dan, and Bush need to step up. That's my answer. Because I feel like they have. Like, Nico, Horner, Dansby Swanson, and Michael Bush have all played to a level of expectation. I joked about this in 5 on it earlier in the hour, but it's really got to be, if Kyle Tucker is healthy enough, can he be the person you need today? All we've seen so far are 2 singles since he's come back from getting that treatment in Tampa. So I'm hoping that that's the case. I just don't. How quick is that hook if he's not himself? Like, do you bring in Moises Ballesteros quicker?
Pinch hit, yeah.
Like, that's the question. You know, how much is Craig Counsell going to use his bench today if he has to?
Well, if you want to know what the lineup is, I have it.
Well, let's go.
Let's go, yes. Break
do
it out.
Do you remember the lineup from Tuesday and the lineup from Wednesday?
Same.
Indeed, I do.
Yeah, that's it. We've got Michael Bush leading off, playing first.
Okay.
We've got Nico Horner batting second and playing second. We've got Ian Happ batting third and playing left field. It's been a rough series for him. Kyle Tucker is, in fact, DHing, and he is batting cleanup. Seiya Suzuki back in right field, batting fifth. Carson Kelly batting sixth, playing catcher. Pete Crow Armstrong in the seventh spot and playing center field. Dansby Swanson batting eighth, playing shortstop, and it is Matt Shaw once again at third base and batting ninth. So carbon copy what you've seen the last 2 days.
All right, if Ian Happ is going to continue to hit third and he is 0 for 8 with 5 strikeouts in the series, then guess what? I'm calling for Ian Happ to do big things today, and it's not out of the question that he could. It's not out of the question that I know PCA has been rough, 0 for 6 with 5 Ks, but we did see him snap out of it to some degree in that Pittsburgh series when I predicted that he would hit a home run. But my guy is Ian Happ because he has to today.
Well, I also think there's the concept of, like what we heard even from Tony Gwynn Jr., you know, the more Ian Happ sees a bullpen, the more he's going to get used to them and the more he will adjust.
Great point.
That's a big part of this. Like, he's a veteran guy, and I do think that you have to lean on the veteran hitters who have that kind of knowledge and will use it to their advantage at the plate in a game like this.
I just want to let you guys know, Ian Happ, lifetime against Yu Darvish, 2 for 13, both singles with 6 strikeouts. He does have a couple of RBI and a walk, but he has not hit for any kind of slug, and he's only got 2 hits and 13
bats.
All right,
so work the county in half.
Yeah, so maybe he can do that because he is still towards the top of the order. And my thing is this. Nico Horner has been excellent for a while now. Start of September on, he's been excellent. Not good, not great, excellent. I do need him to do one more thing. If he strokes a couple of singles, gets 1 single, gets a walk, steal a bag. Put yourself in position to score and force the issue with this Padres defense, which is not a bad defense, but it's not on the level of the Cubs defense where it's rock steady. Force the issue. I want to see the Cubs as a whole force the issue. I think Nico Hoerner is in the best position to be able to make them force the issue.
Well, and like I was saying with Tony Jr., that was a Padres adage forever, especially in that ballpark at Petco before they brought the fences in. You got to manufacture offense. Get on base. We know what happens when this Cubs team wants to steal a bag or two. I know Yu Darvish is probably going to expect it, but know your numbers to the plate. We kind of saw that with the Padres and Andrew Kittredge yesterday. Know when you can steal. Those are the difference makers that might matter in this game the most.
I might put the brakes on the base stealing game while Yu Darvish is in. I was looking at some of Yu Darvish's numbers today. He's had 15 starts. He has allowed 14 home runs. So he's given up home runs in just about every game. And that will make Cubs fans think about the year 2019 when he allowed 33 home runs while pitching for the Cubs. Yu Darvish, 39, by the way, 3.77 ERA and 13 postseason starts, which is fine, but he doesn't go out there and necessarily the track record does not say that he is going to dominate. But that home run number, that sticks in my head that there should be somebody. We should be picking a pick to click today to hit the ball over the wall, and I guess I'm going half on that.
But I also think, too, it's about the pitch selection with a guy who throws that many different pitches. I asked Will Venable about it back when I was working in San Diego when he faced Yu Darvish. I believe when Darvish was still with the Rangers. I'm like, what do you do there? Like, what are you trying to do? He goes, simply look for the fastball.
Wow.
The hard part is Darvish tunnels everything out of the same arm slot. He was one of the originators where, you know, there was the original GIF that was like viral at the time where Darvish in the GIF where all his pitchers are overlaid, the arm slot is the exact same, and then you see how everything came out of that. So that was always the mechanical prowess of Yu Darvish, was trying to figure that out. But Will was right. Just you're hunting fastball there. Seiya Suzuki may have a better advantage just because of his profile as a hitter. He hunts mistakes. So if he sees anything elevated, if he sees something that doesn't drop like it's supposed to, maybe that's the guy today to come through yet again at a time like this.
So is your guy then Seiya or Tucker?
No, I'm still going with Tucker.
Okay, and your guy is Happ.
I'm going Happ.
And my guy is Hoerner.
Okay.
Because I want him to, obviously, he doesn't have the slug that the other guys have, but I want him to cause things to happen. And I've got more faith in him causing things to happen by getting on base than the other contestant for that, which is PCA, obviously.
847 texted us something that I can't repeat, but the starting lineup today's lifetime averages versus you all suck. And then there's another word and then a bunch of ellipses. But I feel you. I understand why there might be a concern. And also 847, yeah, maybe we do rent a van to drive up together because that's how we could transport Dave. Dave's got to come with us, Mark Rohde.
Oh, yeah, Dave, and I do appreciate it. That meant a lot. you would invite Dave the cat to a party in Wrigleyville.
One of the texters wants to know, 630, Marshall, what does rock steady mean? I need to give you a quick 10-second tutelage, or 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Rocksteady is a character from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He was very big. He was very strong in the form of a rhinoceros, a mutant rhinoceros. So he was solid. I need the Cubs to be solid.
Hence the pun.
Rocksteady.
I feel you.
Wasn't that a lyric in a song
also
as well? Yeah.
No doubt.
TMNT is my guy.
I thought it was an 80s song, but it might have evolved.
Another person who we want to ask about this Cubs lineup now that it's out and who he wants to see step up is our next guest, Ron Coomer. Coom Dog joins us yet again.
Coom.
He previewed game one with us.
Dog.
We know what happened there, so he's going to preview game three next. This is Raheem Harris and Grody live from Gallagher Way on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.